Thanks, Jim. And retirement is a new adventure. It's not sank in yet. Whichever. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been a good day, and this sermon was laid upon my heart before Dan asked me to preach. I think it falls in line with some of the others that we've been hearing lately. Brother Jeff gave a very good sermon this morning. One that I think we all need to hear. I needed to hear it, especially in the times that we live in and all the things that are going on with the different factions that are in this country at the moment. The sides are split on almost any issue that you want to talk about. To me, it's been troubling, but the sermon that I was given, I see hope in it, even though it's not going to sound that way when I start out. Book of Mormon, page 681, be the fourth book of Nephi. This is the children that were truly blessed when Jesus was here back in the third book of Nephi, that if I recall right, the circle of fire came down and engulfed them. And so they had a wonderful experience. And this is that generation. I'll start out in verse 1. Fourth book of Nephi, page 681. And it came to pass that the 34th year passed away, and also the 35th, and behold, the disciples of Jesus had formed a church of Christ in all the lands round about. And as many as did come unto them and did truly repent of their sins were baptized in the name of Jesus. And they did also receive the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass that in the 36th year, the people were all converted unto the Lord upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites. And there were no contentions and disputations among them, and every man did deal justly one with another. Verse 11. And now it came to pass that the people of Nephi did wax strong, and did multiply exceeding fast, and became an exceeding fair and delightsome people. Skip over to verse 14, or down to verse 14. And it came to pass that there were no contentions among all the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. And it came to pass that in the 71st year passed away, and also the 72nd year, yea, and in fine, until the 79th year had passed away. Yea, even 100 years had passed away, and the disciples of Jesus, whom he had spoken, had all gone to paradise of God, save it were the three which should tarry. And there were other disciples ordained in their stead, and also many of that great, and also many of that generation which had passed away. And it came to pass that there were no contentions in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envyings, no strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any kind of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people which had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, no murderers, neither were there Lamanites, nor any manner of ites, but they were in one, the children of Christ, and heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings, yea, even they were blessed and prospered until 110 years had passed away, and the first generation from Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in the land. Man, what a wonderful time to be living. You might say there wasn't black, white, Indians. They were all one people in Christ. It didn't matter where they came from, because there were no ites, Lamanites, Nephites. They were just the children of God. They were one in the body of Christ. weren't any murderers. Everything was wonderful. Verse 26. And now I, Mormon, would that ye should know that the people had multiplied insomuch that they were spread upon all the face of the land, and that they had become exceeding rich because of their prosperity in Christ. And now in this 201st year, there began to be among them those which were lifted up in pride, such as were wearing of costly apparel and all manner of fine pearls and of the fine things of the world. And from that time forth, they did have their goods and their substance no more common among them, and they began to divide into classes. And they began to build up churches unto themselves to get gain, and began to deny the true church of Christ. About 200 years, and things started to fall apart. Verse 39. And now it came to pass in this year, yea, in the 231st year, there was a great division among the people. And it came to pass that in this year there arose a people which were called the Nephites, and they were true believers of Christ. And among them were they which were called by the Lamanites, Jacobites, and Josephites, and Zoramites. Therefore, the true believers in Christ and the true worshipers of Christ, among whom were the three disciples of Jesus which should tarry, were called Nephites, and Jacobites, and Josephites, and Zoramites. We have ites now. And it came to pass that they which rejected the gospel were called Lamanites, and Lemuelites, and Ishmaelites, and they did not dwindle, in unbelief, but they did willfully rebel against the gospel of Christ. And they did teach their children that they should not believe, even as their fathers from the beginning did dwindle. And it was because of the wickedness and abominations of their fathers, even as it was in the beginning. And they were taught to hate the children of God, even as the Lamanites were taught to hate the children of Nephites from the beginning. A little over 200 years, and it just started to disintegrate. It seems to me when times are good, when times are great, we tend to forget who got us there. We tend to put God and the gospel and Jesus Christ and stuff on the back burner. Things are good. And then times seem to get bad. And when times are bad, we tend to come back to God. At least that's what I get out of reading through the Book of Mormon from cover to cover. Is things are great, everything's great. We don't need God. Things get bad, now we need God. Things are good, because we have God, and bad. It's a cycle. And I think we cycle as people, as human beings. When things are good, we forget why they're good and who made them good. When things get bad, 9/11 made us really religious as a nation for about 2 weeks. It didn't last long. I was thinking about history of this country, and I didn't listen real good when I was in high school to the history classes because they were boring. Now I wished I had. I love to read history nowadays. I don't read much, but when I do, I like to read history if it's available. But anyway, we had the Roaring Twenties. Everything was going good in the 1920s. And then October 29th, 1929, known as Black Tuesday, 16 million shares were traded in a single day. Billions of dollars lost. The U.S. and the rest of the industrialized world was plunged into the Great Depression. Times I can't fathom. Honestly, I've never been through real bad times. I've never been through times to where I had to rely upon my neighbor for food or scavenge through trash bins to get enough to eat. Storms and a severe drought ruined crops. And the U.S. economy didn't turn around until World War II revitalized American industry. I can't imagine having to give my children to another family because I couldn't feed them. Because the other family might be better off and they could take care of them better. Now, was God preparing us for World War II? Or was he trying to get our attention? Or both? I don't know the answer to that. But I know when World War II came along, those people were ready for the rationing that went on. They had been brought up when it was not a good time to be in this country, not a good time to be in the world, probably. I don't know if some of you sitting here may recall some of that. But World War II revitalized the American industry. Life after World War II was good. We were an industrialized nation again. Men were coming back from war. Married couples started to have more babies because the times were better. And we had the baby boom, called boomers nowadays by other generations. That was a new term to me not too long ago. Well, you're a boomer. I'm a what? Well, you were a baby. You were born in the baby boom, weren't you? And I said, yeah, so I guess I'm a boomer. And as a boomer, I really do not know bad times. They may be coming. I don't know. But life was good. Things were really good in the 1950s. People had a lot of money to spend. People had a lot of jobs. They didn't have to worry about where food was coming from lots of times, if I recall my history correctly. But as a boomer, kind of feel bad because we tend to have forgotten about God because things were good in our life. I'm at the tail end of that. I was born in 1957. I don't recall the years that the baby boom went on. All my brothers were in it, which was two of them. One was born in 1952. Jim's a boomer. Leslie's from the great generation. But what happened? With the baby boom generation. We, as a generation, we forgot about God. And I can prove it. At least in my mind. But no, I can. We took prayer out of schools. We took God out of schools and government. We became promiscuous. They're saying sex, drugs, and rock and roll became a big thing, and people lived that way. We let abortion become legal. Homosexuality and transgenderism, if that's a word, is normal. It's normal nowadays for the generations after mine. The The baby boom generation tolerated sins that our forefathers detested. What one generation tolerates, the next one accepts. So, is God trying to get our attention? I think He is. I think He has been for a long time. Are we listening as a generation? I'm not talking about just people in the church. Don't get me wrong. I think it was wonderful that I was at my lowest low when I decided to start coming to church. Because everything was up from then on. Was it bad times? Yeah, for me personally, but I brought them on myself. I tell people the best thing my wife did for me was sit down and look me in the eye and said, either straighten up or get out. Truth. Best thing happened to me. Shook me to my core. I had to start thinking about, why she feel that way? Well, I knew why. Anyway, that'll be getting away from the sermon. But honestly, we have forgotten about God. I think we're starting to wake up, I hope. When you look at the things that are going on politically in this country, there's a great divide. I can't foretell the future. We may be headed for worse times. He may be preparing us as a people for those times. He may be trying to wake us up, and He may be doing both. I don't have those answers. 2 Corinthians. And I'm not really bringing anything new to y'all. This sermon's probably more for me than anybody. Because I was getting caught up in the divisions and the hateism that you might say that Jeff was talking about this morning, I think. And then one day, it's been several weeks ago, maybe even a few months ago, it's like, no, don't let it happen to me, Mark. I was talking to myself, but actually I was praying to the Lord. Don't let it happen to me. I want to stay on that side of love. That's the only, and Jeff is right, that's the only way we're going to get anybody's attention. Stop the name calling. Focus on the individual. Focus on love. 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter. Paul, 4th chapter, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I felt that way. I felt troubled on every side. It seemed like everything I was catching on TV, which I was trying not to catch much, it's getting easy to wean myself away from that. But I got to the point where I was getting distressed. Then I had to remember whose I was. I had to remember that I'm a child of Christ. I'm a child of God. Perplexed. I started to fall into despair a little bit. One of the main reasons I retired before I hit 65 is because the workplace had started putting stipulations on me so much, I was to the point I couldn't handle it any longer. And I was sinking lower and lower because of it. And I was told that by the Lord, that that's your problem. So I looked. Hey, I can walk away. So I did. Ask Lana. She's 2 weeks and she has already noticed the difference. 2 weeks. And I'm a better individual in my head. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. All this stuff that's spinning around gets me dizzy. But I have to remember that I am the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens, don't get distressed. Don't fall into despair. Don't feel like I'm forsaken. Don't feel like I'm cast down. Because I need to show people that I'm supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different. And we are. The topic of the sermon actually is God's in control. And He is of everything. If He's trying to get our attention, He's in control of it. If He's trying to prepare us for something worse that's coming, He's in control of it. He's got a plan. I don't have to know the beginning and end of it. I'd like to, but I don't have to. Ephesians. And He's given us something wonderful that I have to remember, that I have access to the Lord and have access to His armor, because it's a spiritual battle that we're going through. Ephesians 6, I'll start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's coming on strong. The devil is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't fight against each other. It's a spiritual battle. We can't fall victim to the rhetoric that's out there nowadays, the rhetoric of hate. If you don't agree with the way I agree, I hate you. We can't discuss things anymore, it doesn't seem like, without that coming up, without name calling. That saddened me greatly. I don't mind if somebody disagrees with me, but don't call me an idiot. I may not be the smartest person in the world, but I'm not an idiot. Just because I have beliefs and I have... I don't want to put this. It's not because I'm just following after what's going on. It's because I try to back up my beliefs. I try to be able to explain to people why I believe something. Because if I can't do that, why do I believe it? Some people may not like it. Some have listened. Some haven't. I don't have the biggest vocabulary, but I think I can get my beliefs and the reasons I believe my beliefs across. Sometimes it's a little bit harsh than what some people might think. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Having been able to rely on the things that Christ has given us to stand on. His word. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. I love that one. The preparation of the gospel of peace. Not of hate. Not of discontent. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One of the greatest things you've got is the shield of faith, the faith that God is in control of all things, the faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He came for me. He came for you, each and every one of you, on a personal basis. And the hope that there is an afterlife that is better than what's here. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, the Bible and the Book of Mormon that we've been given to guide our lives by, to know how to handle all situations, especially concerning spiritual ones, spiritual battles. It's hard to get across to some people that the war that's going on, they can't see. We can see evidence of it, but we can't see it. Because there's a veil in front of us that we haven't gone through. Deuteronomy. Man, why are you going all the way back there? I don't know. That's just the one that stuck out. Seriously. Deuteronomy 31:30. Moses was leading a group in the wilderness. And Deuteronomy is the last book of the book of Moses. He's got them prepared to go into the promised land, hopefully. 31:30 says, and Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Chapter 32, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Verse 1, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Everything he does is for the betterment Everything he does is right. Everything he does is perfect. I don't have to understand it. I just have to have the faith that He created all things. He knows everything from beginning to end. Like it says, He's the rock and He is perfect. I'm going to end with a personal testimony. I found out that when you retire, you sit around and get bored and you eat. Well, I put on a few pounds. It's not good for me. It makes my back really hurt bad. And it's not good for my health. So I started walking. Well, then I got these neat little things that you put on your wrist, tells you how many steps you walked. You know how many steps 10,000 is? That's 10,000 steps. That's a lot more steps than what I thought when I started. Most days I've been hitting it, but I've got to work at it. But I need to do it. And, you know, I get on that scale, and it's a little bit lower than it was yesterday morning. Makes me feel good. Maybe by a few tenths, but that's all right. It's still going down. But as I walk, I got a lot of things. 10,000 steps is a long ways. So I have a lot of time to think. I have a lot of time to commune with the Lord, besides making sure I don't trip. But anyway, the other day I was walking from my house. If you're from a small town, it's uptown, not downtown. So it's a mile from my house uptown to the four-way stoplight now. Boy, am I aging myself in Oak Grove. It's a mile. They've got benches there, so I'll sit down and I take a little bit of a break. I think about a few more things. Okay, I started back home on my second mile. I don't know how many steps. But I was walking and I was talking to the Lord and I was asking questions about the times that we find ourselves in. And I don't recall the specific questions. But I got this answer. And I kind of had to laugh at it at first. He says, "You're not Jack Ryan." I said, "I can't save the world?" And it was funny to me. But that was an answer I got. I'm really not trying to be a jokester up here. That's what came to my mind was, "You're not Jack Ryan." And if you don't know who Jack Ryan is, Google it or ask somebody. He's a fictitious character that saved the world from nuclear attack because of his smarts. Anyway. But another question I got an answer to, and it was clear as day to me, and I don't know how to explain why it was, because what I got was, is I am. And I knew where it came from. I can't tell you the scripture verse. But he told Moses, I think it was Moses when he asked, "Who did I tell him who you are?" He says, "Tell him I am." Probably not in that tone. But what I got was, it was simple. I am. And to me it was very clear. It was, I am in control. I am the one that can save the world. I am the beginning and the end. It's Alpha and Omega. And God is the great I am. And let us not forget that everything that happens, God is in control. And that's what I was given to give to you tonight. I hope it's up. I hope it was uplifting, because to me it was, because I was getting a little bit in despair after I retired and got away from what was taking me down, because I had more time to see what was going on in the world instead of concentrating on my itty-bitty world of getting up, go to work, take care of the customer, try not to get fired, and come home. And I was serious. I needed that. I needed to be told that I am. And he is. And his son is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's been given all power in heaven and in earth. God is in control.